Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast, Thursday edition.
It's Thursday.
It's the weekend edition. It's the divisional round picks preview and coaching news update. Will Brinson here along with Nick Costas. Nick, breaking news coming down right as we record this podcast. You probably got pulled off a video set talking about Chip Kelly, right?
That is correct. Chip Kelly hired by the San Francisco 49ers. I'm just upset that we haven't gotten a Jim Harbaugh subtweet yet. That was the first thing I did, was go to Jim Harbaugh's Twitter page to see if he's throwing shade at the Niners, Jed York, Trent Baalke, and then the Chipper, Chip Kelly.
I feel like Chip hung a 50 burger once or twice on Jimbo at when they were coaching against each other with Oregon and Stanford. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, he definitely laid a 50 burger on Pete Carroll once. That I know.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And so I guess he'll get to face off against familiar foe Pete Carroll. The NFC West is suddenly just the most intriguing division by far next year. You've got Chip Kelly going to the 49ers. You've got the Seahawks, who are the Seahawks. You've got Arizona that looks like a team under, you know, Bruce Arians don't
give. They could be the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, and he don't
next year.
And he don't give no F's. I mean, he'll get in a fight.
Like
a coach,
if there were
somebody,
a galaxy full of F's, Bruce Arians gives zero of them. You don't even get one.
And then the Rams.
No F's for you.
Are going to Los Angeles.
But in all seriousness, like Jeff Fisher and all that, and the boring Rams, they got some sizzle now. There's some excitement with the Los Angeles Rams now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of into it.
Oh, I know. I think that even with Jeff Fisher. And by the way, did you see Stan Kroenke? Am I not right about this power play with the mustache thing? He's got to be obsessed with Jeff Fisher's mustache. You can tell.
But Kroenke's mustache is pretty good.
Yeah, but you can tell he wants it to be a Jeff Fisher mustache, and he just doesn't have the power to do it.
Man, I watched in that press conference, man, Stan Kroenke, not a man to be trifled with.
He's the silent killer, just an assassin.
But like the way like he's got like he looks at you and I feel like he's damning your soul to like the seventh layer of hell when he stares at you.
I also think he's got something that I think all truly devious businessmen need. And yeah, that's a sort of like folksy, you know, he's got this like, I guess it's a Midwestern accent where you think that maybe he's like, well, you know, we thought
like
it was
a devilish charm.
Yeah. And all of a sudden,
charm.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's cool. Stan Kroenke's telling a story about a time something happened. Oh my God, my pockets are empty. What the hell happened?
I'm like, where my soul is gone.
Yeah, where's my money?
Stan Kroenke now possesses both my material and immaterial possessions.
But yeah, so LA football is happening. That happened on Tuesday night. The Chargers have, do you think the Chargers will go? I think the Chargers will probably go.
I think the Chargers will go.
Yeah. And so we're going to have the Chargers and Rams more than likely. If the Chargers have a year, I think it's January 17th, 2017.
They should just pull the Band-Aid off and get it over with.
Well, I mean, you can't go back to San Diego and play a lame duck season. That's a disaster.
At this point, I mean, I feel like last season was a lame duck season, and this will really be a lame duck season.
Yeah, you're not going to have anybody in your stands. You got to go to LA. Go there now. You go to L.A., you try and establish something. And plus, you want to give Stan Kroenke a year head start on like taking care of the L.A. market? I mean, you're done. So interesting movements in terms of L.A. But more importantly, Chip Kelly, as we mentioned, we're going to go over a couple coaching hires because some of them are near and dear to your heart. Give me a grade for Chip Kelly to the 49ers. I personally think it's an A hire.
Yeah, I would say B+. Chip's a great coach, and I don't think that is ever or should be in question. It's hard to win 10 games in back-to-back years in the NFL. And I've said this before. Chip, the general manager, killed Chip, the head coach. Yep. Like, Chip Kelly died in Philadelphia because he was given too much power. And he screwed up the personnel moves. And I think he knows now that he shouldn't be making those decisions. If you're having Chip Kelly just coach your football team, I think the guy's pretty damn good. And if you need someone to try and maximize Colin Kaepernick, I think Chip Kelly's clearly the guy. I think it's a really good hire by the 49ers. I can't believe Jed York did something right. How about that?
and actually, our big boss, the biggest, the boss, well, not like the next to biggest boss, I guess, because Les Moonves is the number one boss for us. Jim Lanzone, who is who's the president of CBSI, is a big
49ers. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, hey, Jim. I'm sure that Jim listens to our podcast.
Of course he does.
I bet he probably does. He's a big, no Jim's question. A huge football fan, really great dude, and he is a huge 49ers fan. And he and I were emailing earlier about this. This is not a humble brag in any way. It kind of sounds like one, but I'm just saying that I was telling...
It's all good, bro. You be you. It's all good.
No, I feel like everybody...
Live your truth, buddy. It's
all
good.
Know, that's why I love you, Nick. You don't call me out for humble brags. All the other people I work with, they're like, oh, it's another another Brinson.
If I were emailing with the president of the company I work for, I'd be bragging about it too. Nothing wrong with it.
It's just two dudes talking football. And I pointed out to him that I like the Chip Kelly hire. I give it an A. I think, and there's an interesting report from Ian Rappaport of NFL.com who just tweeted out, as he plotted potential moves and his next NFL stop, Chip Kelly was trying to figure out how to trade for slash sign Colin Kaepernick.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's some debate there about whether or not Colin Kaepernick is a true fit for Chip Kelly's system. I mean, as a running quarterback, there's not many people better than Colin Great. Kaepernick. I might take Cam Newton over Colin Kaepernick, but that's probably it as a pure runner.
Can we talk about Cap for a second here?
Sure.
Like, we're talking about a dude, right?
Yeah.
Who, if not for
one
questionable non-pass interference call maybe on Jimmy Smith at the end of that Super Bowl against the Ravens, we're talking about a guy who almost won a Super with one throw of winning a Super Bowl championship, and then the next season came within one throw in Seattle. Because you best believe that Niners team would have waxed the Broncos just like the Seahawks did in that Super Bowl. One throw in back-to-back years from winning potentially two Super Bowl championships. Everyone wants to throw the dirt on this guy's graves, and look, he was terrible last year. But look, Jeep Christ was his offensive coordinator. We're not exactly talking the love child here of Bill Walsh and Paul Brown. So I think we should slow the roll on the Kaepernick career over in indictments. I'm not ready to go there yet. I still think this guy's got a ton of potential. He's been excellent in his career previously, and if there's a guy that can get it out of him, I think it's Chip. So I would bet on Kaepernick having a bounce back year next year under Chip Kelly.
I'm with you, and I think the thing that you have to look at with Tom Sula and Jeep Christ and Steve Logan.
Jeep Christ.
It's a pretty good name if you're a
good name.
Selling cars. If you're selling cars.
Offense for my Pee Wee football team.
I think when you look at those guys and you start to think about what they were trying to do, they wanted Cap to play from the pocket. And he doesn't play from the pocket. No, you could gradually make him better at playing from the pocket, kind of like Cam Newton has, but you're not going to flick a switch and make him a pocket passer overnight. And Chip Kelly's not going to do that. He's going to let Colin Kaepernick revert back to some of the stuff he did best. Remember the playoff games against the Packers when it was the summer of the read option. The Packers went down to Texas A&M to study the read option and learn about it.
Destroyed them back-to-back years, including a game in Lambeau destroyed them.
Yeah, annihilated them. I mean, you're right. I mean, this is a guy that was Ron Jaworski, who, and we can make fun of him all we want.
It's a bad comment by Jaws.
Very stupid comment by Jaworski. But, I mean, Ron Jaworski watches a lot of football. And he called him the single greatest potential
quarterback prospect of all time. Could go down as the best ever. The problem with that, of course, is that as great as Kaepernick is, he probably won't even crack the top two best quarterbacks in his own franchise's history, much less best quarterbacks of all time. But
zero chance of that. Yeah.
Maybe Joe Montana or Steve.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably not ever going to be a top.
Be Jim Brody. I mean, let's see,
Elvis Gerbeck.
Elvis was decent. Steve Bono had a couple nice years. Jeff Garcia, not bad.
Yeah, actually, I don't think Kaepernick's better than Jeff. Actually, Jeff Garcia's stats are not. All right, anyway,
Kaepernick more upside.
Yes, Kaepernick more upside. So I like the move for Chip Kelly, and I think there's some flexibility here for the Niners because they have a top 10 pick. Should they see a quarterback that they think could be the future, they can grab that quarterback and say, let's go with him. We're going to pair him with Kaepernick. We're going to play Kaepernick. If Kaepernick works out, great. We've got this asset we're sitting on, and we can figure that out later. If Kaepernick doesn't work out, we can move on to the future. Now, I don't think they'll actually do that if they like Kaepernick. I think they'll go with somebody else in the draft. But I think Chip Kelly, a very good hire.
They know already, right? They know now, you'd think.
You'd think so. You would think so. Unless you do the scouting process and in my opinion, if you do the scouting process and you run into somebody and you decide that Jared Goff is the answer, or Paxton Lynch is the answer.
I love me some Jared Goff.
I do too. But if you decide one of those two guys is the answer and is a franchise quarterback, you got to pull a trigger on him.
No doubt. No question. And I feel like we should look last season for San Francisco. You know, how in the dark ages, the bubonic plague hit and there's no record of anything that happened. That should be the 2015 49ers, the Wikipedia page. It should just go from 2014 to 2016.
Burn the tape of 2015. All right. The other job that is almost no longer filled, not officially. We haven't had a John Mara. John Mara hadn't tweeted it out yet, so it ain't official. But Ben McAdoo is the coach, the new coach of your New York Giants. I see that you look less than enthused.
No, I think, aside from the fact that McAdoo calls entirely too many goal line fades and looks like he should be smoking Marlboro Reds at a truck stop, with that horrible haircut and goatee.
The haircut is the worst. It's the worst haircut in the history of mankind.
He looks like that he should be selling cigarettes at a truck stop instead of coordinating or coaching an NFL team. But I did tweet, and look, this wasn't like, you know, me predicting when Christ was coming back, the fact that McAdoo would be the new head coach of the Giants once they were retaining Jerry Reese. I thought that was pretty obvious. I'm not surprised at all that that's the case. Here's my problem. As I said last week, what happens now if they go 6-10? And the talent on the roster is obviously not great when you look at it overall. Reese is going to get fired. We know Reese is on the hot seat, got to win this year. But then what happens? Do you retain Ben McAdoo and then you have to hire a general manager who has to work with the head coach who he didn't hire? That's why I think this is a little iffy. With that being said, I think it was pretty well established, Will, and your ear to the ground is more than mine is as a concern, stuff like this. I think it's pretty obvious that when they brought Ben McAdoo over from Green Bay, that the plan eventually was going to be to have him succeed Coughlin. Now, I think it happened earlier than everyone either wanted or expected it to, but I think this is what the Giants wanted all along, was to have McAdoo succeed Coughlin as the head coach of the team. So I'm not totally surprised. He's obviously done good work with Eli. Eli is stumped for him. But the problem, right? Ben McAdoo could be Bill Walsh. He could be Bill Belichick. He could be Chuck Knoll. He could be one of the great coaches in league history. If they don't get better talent on this roster, specifically on defense, it's not going to matter because they can't stop anybody. So it's really incumbent on Jerry Reese to stock that defense with more playmakers, or Ben McAdoo won't have a shot. And it wouldn't matter if, like I said, if Belichick were on the sidelines. They have to get better players if they're going to compete.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, and this is null and void if Ben McAdoo was in fact going to take the Eagles job, which there was a report the Eagles were interested in him, but I don't see how, and of course it's null and void if Joe Philbin doesn't get the OC job, but I don't see how Ben McAdoo plus Joe Philbin is better than Tom Coughlin plus Ben McAdoo given the same roster.
My issue with Coughlin, and I've said this, look, I love Tom Coughlin. Won my team 2 Super Bowl championships. You can make an argument he's the best coach in Giants history, even over Bill Parcells. Coughlin lost his fastball a little bit,
yeah.
Period. End of story. And I said this last week. There was a time when he was the best, not the second best, not even, I don't even think there was a conversation for number one. Coughlin was the best in-game coach in the NFL. Never screwed up situational football, used timeouts properly, the whole nine yards. This year was a complete, emphatic, utter disaster in all those regards. Many late-game brain farts and screw-ups. I had no problem really with Tom Coughlin leaving. What I wanted to see was Jerry Reese leave as well. So I think that you're going to get an upgrade, probably, unless Ben McAdoo pisses down his leg for 16 games.
Which
could happen. Like, there have been bad clock managers in the NFL. Let's operate under the assumption that McAdoo knows what he's doing. Then I think that you can have an upgrade just based on that. The fact that it would be tough to manage the clock in situations worse than Coughlin did last year.
Yeah. And
this is coming from a huge Tom Coughlin fan.
And it's going to be really difficult to have as many late game disaster and choke jobs.
It's almost, I would say, mathematically impossible.
Well, they set the NFL record for it. So yeah, I mean, I think it
mathematically
is.
Mathematically impossible.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's mathematically possible, but it is highly unlikely that they do it.
If you say highly unlikely, I mean, it's like Office Space. And I mean, this is a hypothetical. Almost no chance.
And apparently, by all accounts, they see this guy, McAdoo, as the next Andy Reid. He needs to pack on some pounds, grow out the stash a little bit. Maybe get rid of the butt cut. Maybe get rid of the butt cut, Ben.
His hair, it's horrible.
It is horrible, and I can't look past it. I don't think I could hire him. I mean,
I'm guessing he's married.
Has to be. He's not out there on Tinder dates with that thing.
No, Ben McAdoo. Anyway, I don't think he'd get any with that Tinder profile.
That's what I'm saying.
If he's the next head coach of the Giants, he'll get some dates. But like, does his like, he's allowed to leave the house looking like that with that look?
Horrible. Your wife's got to say something, right?
Like at some point, like, hey Ben, how about, yeah, Ben, you want me to get you for Christmas? Here's a new razor, Ben.
or just shave his head while he's asleep. I mean, like, anything.
It is horrible.
It is.
Like,
it's too little, like floppy. It's like floppy antlers or something.
He looks like a horror. Like, I mean, like I said, he looks like he should be chain smoking Marlboro Reds on the back of a big rig, not calling plays for the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, do you want Smirnoff or Aristocrat? Like, you know, he looks like some redneck bartender.
Well, all right, Eli, we gonna call this.
Yeah,
right,
it's a triple down, huh? All right, anyway. Speaking of Tom Coughlin, what would your grade be for Ben McAdoo once he's hired? Because he's going to be hired.
B-.
Okay, I'll give it a C+. I'm not, just don't love it. I mean, it's like, he better be good. He's got a lot of pressure, and I think it's dumb to do it without getting a new GM.
I think that this is going to blow up in their faces.
I concur.
And it might not be, unfortunately, any fault of Ben McAdoo's if that's the case.
Right. And the other issue I have with the whole Ben McAdoo thing is that now you are taking the guy who was very close with Eli Manning for 2 years when Eli Manning had 4,400 passing yards back-to-back seasons, his best stretch statistically of his career, and you're taking him out of kind of the play-calling realm and putting him in the head coach position. I don't like that. So that's
well, you know, from the fan perspective, it actually, like, it sort of hit me last night for the first time. I haven't had to experience my team hiring a new coach in over a decade. I don't think it's hit me yet that my offensive staff for the team that I root for is going to be Ben McAdoo and Joe Philbin. Like,
terrifying.
This, in all sincerity, has not really hit me yet. Like, when Joe Philbin is named, like, when I have to watch Joe Philbin with that look, Weekend at Bernie's face on the sidelines of Giants games coming up this fall, when it looks like someone should be behind him pulling the strings like a marionette, I don't know how I'm going to feel. But at the moment, I've sort of talked myself into it. You know, if we could just get Jason Pierre's fingers grow back, maybe sign an impact player, free agency, kill the draft, maybe we're going to win 11 games this year.
His fingers grow back.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's Wolverine and we just don't know it yet.
All right. So what about Tom Coughlin withdrawing his name from the Eagles job? Makes sense. I think that you probably had a situation where Howie Roseman was trying to Jerry Reese him. You know, it's like, look, you know, we're in charge of your, you know, we're going to have to approve your assistance. We're going to be the guys who are going to get the personnel around you. And Tom Coughlin's like, he basically pulled a Danny Glover. He said, I'm too old for this. Beep.
I mean, and to be fair, he's probably right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Listen, you know,
he has no business being the coach in Philadelphia.
I hate this because it sounds like ageist almost to say it. He's not the guy that he was. Yeah. It's just, I think it's the painful, obvious truth.
Miami, San Francisco, Cleveland, maybe. Like a job where they need some stability. But Philadelphia, I mean, I'm telling you, Nick, when I was at the owners' meetings last year, if I told you that, like this is my – I like these Philly guys, like the media guys.
Is that a humble brag by you? Like, when I was at the owners' meetings.
No.
I kind of like it. I've been to the owners' meetings myself. I rub it in everyone's face, so
yeah, you should too. No. I mean, you know, cover the NFL. We're at the – you know.
No doubt.
I mean, I probably told you, but so I remember Jeffrey Lurie doing the press conference where he was telling everybody that Chip Kelly had GM power. And while he was doing it, it's outside in the sun in Arizona. I don't remember, maybe March or whatever it was. It's just hot as hell. And it's like 60 just chunky sports writers from Philadelphia, you know, huddled around Jeffrey Lurie.
And for those who have never seen you, Will, you're pretty svelte. You don't fit in that category.
No. I was like, this is too much. My buddy Jeff McClain, not chunky, a svelte man. But I mean, there's like, you know, a bunch of like thick, you know, like sweaty
the
sports
stereotype
writers.
Fits.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they're like, they're huddled around, and it's camera dudes too, like trying to get news stuff. Howard Eskin is screaming questions like, Jeff, what is the deal?
Yeah, barbarians.
Yeah, but it's just like it's like just 40 like schmoes screaming questions at this billionaire and demanding to know why he decided to give Chip Kelly power. It's like, all right, maybe we could be a little more civilized here. Tom Coughlin doesn't need that.
No. Like,
Tom, what happened in New York?
Tom gave John Mara the cold shoulder after his press conference. I don't think Tom wants to deal. You think Tom wants to deal with Howard Eskin? Like, Tom Coughlin wants to do radio with Angelo Cataldi in Philadelphia the week after the Eagles blow a game to the Cowboys.
We did. One time, Nick, I was at the Super Bowl. That was an intentional humble brag. But we were doing our Super Bowl radio row show video, and I was talking to LeSean McCoy for this video. And we finish, and I'm standing up, and I'm saying what's up to him, and he's about to jump off stage. Howard Eskin leaps on our stage and starts trying to interview Shady, and the PR person was like, "What the hell are you doing?
I feel like there's like etiquette in those situations. That's like an entire podcast in itself.
Anyway. So I don't know where the Eagles go here. They're kind of in a bit of trouble. I think somebody was pointing out the guys that they've interviewed haven't interviewed with anybody else. It's like Deuce Staley, which I love Deuce as a running back. Maybe not as a head coach right now.
I mean,
Pat Shurmur.
Deuce Staley? What, is Karell Buchalter unavailable for the job? I mean, dude.
Westbrook! Bring back Westbrook!
I mean, seriously, at least make it Brian Westbrook. I mean, God. What, Keith Byers couldn't make it for the interview? Like, we got to, I mean, really? Deuce Staley?
It's, Darren Revelle. Why did you tweet this? A guy named Chip was perfect coaching in the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, and it's perfect for Silicon Valley, too.
Yeah, whatever.
I love Darren, but that tweet, maybe not. Deuce is your answer. Pat Shurmur is your answer. The Eagles are in trouble now.
They're going to hire Doug Peterson, right?
That's probably the play. He's their only other guy, and so they just kind of have to wait it out and hope that the Chiefs lose to the Patriots which we'll get to. Actually, this is a pretty good segue. Am I missing a coaching job that happened? Did I?
Hugh.
Oh, geez, Louise. And actually, you know what?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I give the Hugh, if you don't love it.
The Hugh hiring is an A for me, mainly because I think that he's like, the Cleveland is your buddy that got married for the third time, and you're like, God, what kind of really loser is like, is he going to be with this time?
I feel like, you know what? I'm rooting for it. I'm rooting for this one to work. And I think it's noteworthy that Hugh's been in the division for a while now, you know, whether it's Baltimore and then Cincinnati. He chose Cleveland. And I feel like he could have maybe had his choice of a couple other jobs. Like, to me, that shows that he thinks that he can win in Cleveland. And when I look back on Hugh in Oakland, he killed, like, that's another case of the GM killing the coach. When Al Davis passed away and he sort of seized control of personnel. And look, I don't necessarily kill him for it because in that situation, no one was really stepping up. He makes the trade for Carson Palmer. It turns out to be an utter disaster. And that's what obviously expedited his departure from the Raiders. But as far as a coach goes, he got a lot out of Jason Campbell in his time at Oakland, both as the coordinator and the head coach. I think the guy's a damn good coach. I think he's going to do a really good job. I think the Browns knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, and by the way, Ben McAdoo has officially been named the 17th head coach in Giants franchise history.
Yeah, whatever.
God, they actually – when do you see the picture they use for this tweet? I mean, it's like the best possible picture of his hair, and it is terrible.
It looks horrible.
Like, it looks like my hair right now.
Your hair looks good right now. Yeah. I'm not gonna describe it on air as the way I did off air, but yeah.
Yeah, I was exercising. God, we need a humble brag tally for my podcast. I'm up to like 9.
I exercised this morning too.
There you go. Well, you got you're single. You got to be exercising.
Absolutely.
Or you're not married with kids. I mean,
correct.
Yeah.
Both of those statements were correct.
I think it is interesting that Hugh decided not to go along with the Marvin Lewis succession plan that Marvin apparently offered him. Now, I don't blame him.
The problem is that Marvin's a Supreme Court justice. He's going to have that job until he dies. So, I mean, if you're Hugh Jackson, in 2035, you're going to be named the Bengals head coach once Marvin kicks the bucket? I mean, who the hell wants to be on the Marvin Lewis succession plan? I mean, God, it's safe. You're going to wait for Marvin. Marvin's been there basically since 1945. You're going to wait for Marvin Lewis to leave Cincinnati?
Look, Marvin Lewis turned that. He's the second longest tenured coach behind Belichick. Turn that franchise around. They used to be the laughingstock. I don't think they should get rid of Marvin.
Oh,
5
God,
straight dude. Playoff trips. I know you don't win, but you gotta go to the playoffs 5 times to lose 5 playoff games.
I don't know, man. Like what we saw at the end of that wild card game last
week.
That
was disastrous.
I'm not even sure disaster is the right D adjective. I would go with disgraceful, honestly, because it was disgraceful.
It was.
Like, have some control over it. I know, like, some people say, well, you know, you coach the players, they do what they do. You know what? Like, can you get your players to not completely lose it on the sidelines and on the field in the most critical moment of the most critical game of the season? That's terrible.
Do you see the Seahawks or the Patriots losing it in critical spots?
No.
Exactly. Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah, that's a problem. And look at the guys he's dealing with. They're taking chances with Adam Jones and Vontaze Burfict. I mean, they did a great job coaching him up, but you're talking about some guys who are loose cannons.
Vontaze Burfict is certifiable.
3 games is light. So light.
I say this sometimes, like, the word crazy in our society is overused. Like, you'd be like, ah, oh, that guy, he's crazy. No, Vontaze Burfict is crazy. Like, yes. Vontaze Burfict is actually crazy. Like, that dude that you think is crazy, he's just a little weird. Vontaze Burfict is nuts.
That's what he does in the club. He's, like, out on Saturdays, and he, like, just leaps across the room and headbutts dudes.
Or just lays them out. If I saw Vontaze Burfict, I would run really fast in the other direction.
No question about it. He might be hanging out for 3 games. He's got suspended for 3 games. Okay. And then the other thing, just really quickly, What's your opinion of Adam Gase to Miami? That happened on Saturday. I'm pretty sure that the guys talked about it on Monday when I
listened.
All right,
so a couple things on this. Number one, I loved his hire at DC. I think Vance Joseph was a terrific hire. I know our guy Pete Prisco liked it as well. I think Vance is a really good coach. You hear really good things about him. Players like him. And I like that. Because obviously Gase is an offensive coach. He's going to call the plays in Miami. So needed to get someone good to run that defense. So I think that was the key ingredient, number one. And with Gase, it's obviously as simple as this. Can he get it out of Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah.
If Adam Gase can get it out of Ryan Tannehill, and we've seen him do it with quarterbacks in the past, worked very well with Peyton, had a great season last year,
Tebow.
Coaxed a nice year
Tebow.
Out of Jay Cutler, coaxed some good stuff out of Timothy Richard Tebow. If he can take Ryan Tannehill to the next level, it's a great hire, but the jury's out until we see what happens with Tannehill. I'm not willing to say at this point it's a great hire. It's entirely contingent upon the performance of Mr. Tannehill.
I'm with you, and I think that he must have liked Tannehill to take that job.
No question.
Obviously. And I think the Cutler stuff last year, this is Cutler's most efficient season of his career last year, yep. probably. So I like it. I thought it was smart by the Dolphins. It didn't have to be this huge splash. Hire a young guy who might be the next home run, and you make it early before, you know, everybody else can start sifting around. Okay, on to the games. The first game of the divisional round on CBS Sports at 4:35 Saturday, January 16th. The Kansas City.
Dun, 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 dun,
I wish we had some NFL on CBS music.
Dun, dun. NFL CBS music is so badass.
We used to use it on the podcast, and then we got sued by our own company or something. It was weird.
Is that true?
Nah, we didn't really get sued, but
let's just leave that alone.
Yeah, and I'm gonna delete this. Just kidding. There's a whole. I think it's an NFL copyright issue, maybe.
Fair enough. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
The music's awesome.
Yeah, the music. You know what we love is CBS. That's what we love.
I am all about the eye.
I have my eye on CBS.
Hashtag Team CBS.
KC at New England. This line stuns me when it came out. Because the Patriots have had 2 weeks to prepare. They've been off for a week. Now, Chandler Jones has got some funky stuff going on. But Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski healthy, Julian Edelman supposed to be back.
He was going to go to practice, but he got high.
That's pretty good. I wasn't going to go to the police station without my shirt on. But
then I got high.
I loved Afro Man. God, that's a great song. I had to fire that up on Spotify.
Now I'm getting arrested, and I know why.
Now I'm in the hospital, and I know why. Because I got high. Allegedly, because I reportedly got high.
Allegedly.
So the Patriots are only favored by 5. This feels like Vegas begging people to take the Patriots.
Oh, man. I kind of think it's the other way, to be honest.
Really?
I'll be honest, man. We talked last weekend, and I said I thought last weekend was really tough. I liked one game really last week, and I liked the Vikings, and if they turned out to cover. I only like one game this weekend. We'll talk about it coming up in a little bit here. I don't like 3 of these games. I really don't. I don't like this Patriots-Chiefs game. My thought is this. Patriots limped to the finish line, obviously had that disgraceful performance week 17 in Miami, and that's the lasting memory, I think, in people's heads, along with a lot of injuries. The Chiefs are the hottest team in the league right now.
11 straight games.
Absolutely waxed the Texans last week, and man, can we just spend a second talking, and just 1 second, Brian Hoyer, worst playoff performance of all time by a quarterback?
It's got to be, right?
Now we can move on.
Okay.
And I think that you see 5 points, and people might say too many points here. I'm leaning on the Patriots here, and the Chiefs got some injuries now. Justin Houston hasn't been practicing. Tamba Hali, now these guys could both end up playing, but the Macklin injury is a big one, the high ankle sprain. Yeah. I doubt that we'll see him on Saturday. That's a big deal. Edelman back for the Patriots, get some other key players back from injury. 2 weeks to prepare, and lest we forget, Bill Belichick will be on one sideline, Andrew Reid will be on the other. Give me New England at home to cover the 5-point spread.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and this is just I am really bad about sometimes tricking, getting in my own head and doing a dance.
Now, Jedi mind trick.
No, it's reverse Jedi mind trick, or Jedi mind tricking myself. But my initial reaction was, I'm going to like KC in this game, and I'm going to be getting a touchdown. And then it came out, and I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, no, I didn't think that. Yeah,
oh, really?
I thought it would be around here. Yeah.
Then maybe my initial perception
was off.
Let me
ask you, if this game were in Kansas City, what would you have made the line?
Probably. I mean, I don't see how the Patriots are. I would never make the Patriots underdogs in the playoffs.
I think the Patriots would be an underdog if the game were in Kansas City.
I mean, I would eat that up.
It'd be a pick 'em, or it'd be like Kansas City -1.
Yeah, and I would eat that up because it's Bill Belichick in the playoffs. Okay, all right. So that's your six.
So now you take the Patriots -5.
Okay, all right, but this is what I'm saying. Like, I initially was like, all right, I like KC because they're getting 7 points. I think they're better than people think. And then it came out, it was like, wow, 5. I was like, my brain says to me that the Patriots are the obvious easy pick here, but then I'm like, wait, Vegas is trying to get people to take the Patriots. So should I stop tricking myself and just take the pick I like? I mean, like...
No, I mean, look, if I told you that, it would mean that I never do that, and I do that to myself all the time. I mean, when you have a week in between games, obviously information comes out, you talk to people that you trust, and your opinion sort of changes. But I think your initial lean... your initial lean was on Kansas City. My initial lean was on the Patriots. I'm going to stick with mine. I'm going to take New England. I think they win by 7 or more points. I don't feel great about it, but I will take the Patriots.
Wow, 47% of the money is on the Chiefs. That's a lot higher than I would have expected. So that's utterly terrifying. All right, I'm leaning. I'm sticking with KC. I think they could actually.
You always
pull.
Have to remember recency bias plays a huge part in all these things.
Yeah, that's true.
The Chiefs just killed the Texans. They've won 11 in a row.
Patriots have looked like crap the last
Patriots 3 weeks. Didn't play last week, a little out of the pub. The last thing people remember is what happened in week 17. That stuff plays a huge role.
Now, having said all that, if Dontari Poe, Dee Ford, Justin Houston, and Tom Bahali are all ready to go, I think they are going to create some major issues for Tom Brady on that and that patchwork
and look,
offensive line.
We saw
line.
That in that Monday night game last year. Now, look, that game was in Arrowhead, not in Foxborough, but there's no question that the Chiefs can present some problems for the Patriots offense, and you know how to beat New England, and Tom Brady is to rattle him and get in his face and knock his ass to the ground. Would I be stunned if the Chiefs covered the spread? I wouldn't. I'm not professing to have a strong lean on the game, but you're asking me to pick it, so I'll take the Patriots.
Green Bay at Arizona. That's the night game on NBC on Saturday. Green Bay plus 7 despite an impressive performance by Aaron Rodgers. As we mentioned, recency bias 38-8 just a couple of weeks ago when the Cardinals thumped the Green Bay Packers. I tend to lean Green Bay here because I think that Aaron Rodgers is starting to get warm. That could just be me seeing the Redskins defense and being stupid. I think it's entirely possible the Packers get blown out because Arizona's a really, really good team and Bruce Arians isn't afraid to step on somebody's throat. But I think Aaron Rodgers kind of found something in those last three quarters, and I think he's going to put up some numbers against Arizona.
All right, let's talk recency bias. Forget about week 16. That was too far away. That's too long ago. Okay. We're talking about last week. Packers got right last week, right?
Yep.
Against the Redskins. Rodgers smiling, slinging.
Slapping Mike
passes.
McCarthy on the back.
Down 11-0. They win by 17 or 18 points. Everyone's having a great time. Rodgers telling McCarthy to challenge plays that shouldn't be challenged. Then they're having a yucking about it afterwards. People think the Packers are back, right?
Yep.
Then you look at the spread for this game, and you see Arizona minus 7. And Arizona was minus 4 in week 16 when these two teams played. And the first reaction, of course, is, wow, 7 points? Packers are back. Rodgers is heating up. 7 points. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
People are going to take the points with the Packers, and then the Cardinals are going to quote my man Stone Cold Steve Austin, open up a can of whoop-ass on the Green Bay Packers. I'll take the Cardinals minus the 7 points in this game. I think Arizona wins by double digits.
This is not one of the ones you like either, I assume.
No.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
I like it a little bit.
Yeah. 7's a lot of points against Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. I mean, the thing is, if Rodgers is locked in, he can win. I mean, like, he can win playoff games by himself.
Yeah, but here the problem with that, of course, is that, you know, the Cardinals are pretty damn good.
Like, very good.
Like, the Cardinals are a better team than the Packers, right? Can we say that?
No one will dispute that.
So, like what's Aaron Rodgers going to have to do to win this game single-handedly? Go 36 of 37? 400 yards and 5 touchdowns?
Sacked less than 4 times.
Listen, Randall Cobb, Jared Aberderis, Davante Adams, probably not going to play, James Jones would have difficulty separating against you, me, and Pete Prisco. And now they're going to have to go against Patrick Peterson and company. I don't see these guys having a ton of success on offense in this game.
James Jones is wiped out by Patrick Peterson. And it's not even like, and Patrick Peterson might go and wipe somebody else out after
witness protection program.
Yeah.
Like off the face of the earth.
No, like literally eradicated. Just
Better Call Saul, gone.
that's a good reference. Yeah,
great show.
Or just Breaking Bad gone. Seattle at, like I said, same thing. Seattle at Carolina. I'm going to stick with Green Bay on that game. But Seattle at Carolina. Carolina minus 2.5. I got the Panthers in this one. And I think, nobody's probably surprised by that. But when you look at Russell Wilson, 3 games as Seattle starter since taking over in Carolina, 3 wins. But they've all been very close wins. That playoff game that Seattle beat Carolina in last year, they won by 14, but it wasn't that big of a blowout. And then you see the game this year in Seattle, Carolina goes in and wins. I think it's going to be a 3-point game, but I think Carolina's going to come away. I mean, in theory, I should probably take the points. I just think Carolina's going to win this one.
Man, it's a heavyweight battle, huh? Like, this
is
going to
be a fun game. Yeah, fun game.
You can make the argument that these are the two best teams in the NFL.
Sure.
Squaring off on divisional weekend. Like, this is the game that, like, you're a big football fan. I've been watching football pretty much my entire life.
Right.
This is the sort of game that when you think about, like, this should send, like check your pulse if you're a football fan and the Seahawks and Panthers don't do it for you. Get you jonesed up for some football coming up on Sunday afternoon. This is actually the game that I like the most.
And you like the Seahawks.
And I like the Seahawks.
Yeah, because they're getting points.
Yeah, they're getting points, exactly. And I think you can make the argument here that the Seahawks should be favored in this game or it should be close to a pick 'em, even on the road. Second lease on life when Blair Walsh missed that kick last week. I think the Seahawks are really good. Russell Wilson's really good. And this isn't to take away from the Panthers, but I'm going to give you a name, a guy who I think is going to swing the difference in this game.
Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett.
Yep. I wrote that in my column on Sunday. They can't. How the hell are they going to cover him?
It's not just cover.
They can't kick to him. If they kick to him, he will destroy their special teams.
I think he brings one to the house, and it's the difference in the game. I think the Seahawks win the game and sets up an epic NFC Championship game. Seahawks at Cardinals in the desert.
Selfishly,
I'll see Seattle here.
Selfishly, too, I want the Panthers to win, because if the Panthers win, I get two playoff games. I'll be in the NFC Championship game in Charlotte. CBS probably not flying me out. EK probably not flying me out to Arizona.
I know. After EK, this is done, I'm going to march to EK's office and make sure.
Don't do that.
No.
Yet.
Okay, great.
No, I don't feel like marching. No, I mean he would. If I was like, beat the table down, I was like, I need to be in.
I have to be there.
Gotta be. And in fact, I'll be perfectly honest. Sunday at 1 o'clock is not ideal for me. My parents are coming back from a vacation, and
Where were they at?
They're actually in Honduras right now. Tough.
Honduras.
Scuba diving. Yeah.
Okay.
Tough. Yes, very tough. They're big scuba divers.
I didn't realize Honduras was a major tourist attraction.
It's not. It's the section there. They're like a resort there, scuba diving. The diving's okay. It's pretty fun. I mean, they saw some eagle rays and stuff like that.
A what?
Eagle ray. Just like eagle a giant
ray.
Like.
Looks, I thought it was a devil ray.
No, they have eagle rays too. They're huge.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, they're like 3 foot wide, and they fly through the water. It's pretty awesome.
I know that I was on a cruise shortly after I graduated college, and my buddy Carl was with me, and we still talk about this. We're on the deck, in his room, and this bird. I don't even know if it was a bird. It looked like a pelican had sex with a pterodactyl. That would be like what this thing was. Flew by, and we're looking at each other and thinking, if this thing makes eye contact with us, we're all dead. It was like the craziest thing I've ever seen, and that's what I think. When I hear things like eagle ray and things in the sea, I think back to that prehistoric creature that flew past. Like if I had a camera and took a picture of this thing, I might have been on the cover of Scientific American. That's how insane this thing was.
There's some crazy stuff down in the ocean. My brother and dad went scuba diving out in like the Pacific, and they saw sharks the size of couches. I have no interest in that,
dude,
personally.
Let me tell you, my theory is whenever you set a toe in the ocean, you're on the road team.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
You're on the visiting team. Yeah. Anytime you're in the ocean, you're not playing a home game.
No, and the other team doesn't play by your rules.
And there are no rules.
This is a different game.
You play by their rules.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point. I mean, if you we can't get that's what's so stupid. Society freaks out. It's like, how could we allow people to be eaten by sharks? It's like, you got in the water. We don't own it.
And guess what? The shark does not abide by human rules because the shark is not human.
Dude's just trying to eat, trying to get some.
You know why the shark is eating? Because it's hungry.
Right, exactly. But
the same way I was hungry when I had a gyro before. Shark's hungry, he wants a bite of my arm.
Yeah. And he's
it was fault in his mind. Yeah. Eating water.
As far as he's concerned, you're something in his house and he's hungry.
Yeah, it's like someone breaks into my house, I'm gonna get upset. I'm gonna do something about it.
Yeah.
You're breaking into that shark's house.
Yes,
he's just being a shark.
Yeah, and then the funny
people get it's like, you know what, when people call adults babies when they get an adult cries, you'd be like, oh, why is he acting like a baby? Like, babies cry. That's why we call them babies. That's what babies do. Like, this is what sharks do. They eat things.
Where are you being
predators.
Such a shark, jerk?
It's like, wow, like, unbelievable. Like, you're shocked that the shark tried to eat this guy because he's probably hungry and this dude's in space. Of course he's going to try and eat it. It's a freaking shark.
Yes, that's what he does in everything. It just happens that it was a human this time. I'm with you. The nice thing about scuba diving is you're kind of like in a situation where you're not like flailing on the edge of the water.
Dude, you got to put me in a cage to do any of that stuff. Yeah. I need to be in a cage.
I'll tell some more scuba diving. I once got attacked by a remora a remora is the thing that latches on the bottom of sharks. It's like a shark, not parasite, but it's like an actual animal.
A symbiotic thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the shark benefits from it and it benefits from the shark?
Yeah, there's no benefit for the shark. It's
a parasite.
Yeah, it's a parasite. It just gets the leftovers from the shark, but they're actual fish and they're probably like 4 feet long. Well, sometimes they'll swim around humans, right? And I'm scuba diving down in the water, and I think we're in the, I don't remember where we were, but I'm scuba diving, and this thing comes up to me, starts bugging me, and I'm like flailing around, and my dad's grabbing
me. Dude, I gotta tell you.
This
is stuff nightmares are made of.
Yeah, but so like I'm starting to like float up too fast, and my dad's grabbing my leg, and he's freaking out, and he's like, you know, screaming at me, but he can't scream because he's underwater. And then all of a sudden, the remora cruises up in front of me and stops and starts taking a dump. And then he just proceeds to take a dump on my head.
You're the road team. That was him showing you no respect.
What am I going to do? I mean, I assume I can
take
a dump.
It's like you got a beer thrown at you at an opposing stadium.
That's right. You're asking for it by wearing that Eagles jersey into MetLife Stadium. Okay, so but the point I was trying to make about the scuba
Giants
diving thing
fans
is
don't do that.
My parents are taking care of my kid on Sunday while I go to cover that game. That's how good this game is. My day would be so much easier if I didn't have to drive and drop off my kid and then drive to Charlotte. But I want to be there for this heavyweight game. Panthers to win. And then finally, the conclusion, Peyton Manning of divisional round weekend. Peyton Manning, maybe against Ben Roethlisberger, maybe against Antonio Brown. I think they'll both play, but we'll see. Sunday afternoon, 4:40 on CBS Sports. Broncos -7.
Yeah, I don't think we can pick this game.
Not without knowing.
We don't know what the hell's going to. And look, I think they'll probably shoot Ben up with enough toradol to kill a rhinoceros, and he'll be out there on Sunday. But how effective is this dude's going to be? And like, we don't know how effective Antonio Brown's going to be. We'll see if he's going to win a Grammy based on his performance on Sunday. Shout out to Pac-Man Jones. I'll take Denver just because of the uncertainty here. But I will couch that by saying, you know, this is. Is it caveat emptor or emptor, by the way, buyer beware?
I think it's caveat.
On the Sportsline video before, I said caveat emptor and no one corrected me, so I don't know if that's correct or not. But may the buyer beware.
It's emptor.
Damn it.
Well, it's spelled E-M-P-T-O-R.
T-O-R, yeah. So caveat emptor. May the buyer beware. I'm going to take the Broncos here, but you can't bet this game until you know what the deal is.
That's right. And
I will say, though, at the price it's at, -7, if Ben doesn't go, that's going to go up to like 10 points at minimum, I think.
Well, it opened at 4.5 and got moved up to 6.5 real fast, and it settled at 7.
So if there's no Ben, that's going to go up to 10 points.
I tend to think it's up. Now, I mean, look, if Ben's out, that it's going to be it might be 12.
If they're all healthy, the number's insane, obviously. It'll be lowered. That's why, like, I feel like it's almost like folly to discuss this because.
Well, it is, but see, the thing is, like, Antonio Brown was supposedly gonna play, and then it started getting leaked out that he might not play. To me, Ben is gonna play.
I know he's gonna play because Mike Tomlin in his post game press conference last week, he might as well have just put his thumb on his nose and said, "This is for the concussion movie," and said, "No," because he's like talking with Ben on the sidelines. He goes, "How did the question was like, so like, how did you make the decision to put Ben back in the game?" He goes, "Well, we kind of looked at each other and we said, it's now or never."
Yeah.
Oh, well, it was. He's got a separated shoulder. Get back in the game because the season might be over. Yeah. They're both gonna play on Sunday.
And I've heard multiple people say this, and I agree so wholeheartedly with this. When Ben comes out and starts naming specific injuries that he's got, he's not being friendly with the media. He's letting you know he's in a lot of pain, and this is going to be a soldier effort and an impressive gutty.
No one, he's second, I think, only to J.J. Watt in terms of the like putting on to get people talking about him.
That's right. He's the reverse Philip Rivers.
Correct.
Because Rivers,
you never hear Rivers talk about anything.
Rivers go out there and like with like one leg, and like he's just, it's like, "Are you okay, Phil?" He's like, "Oh yeah, no, it's fine. I'm good. But yeah, like
Ben has had like 7 season-ending injuries this season alone. When you think like it's over, like his career's done, and then he Willis Reed's in, and he's out there 10 minutes later.
He wants the Willis Reed factor, so I think Ben is a lock to play. My pick hinges on Antonio Brown, because if Antonio Brown is out, if he's in there, it drastically changes the way that Denver can guard him. I think Aqib Talib can shut down Martavis Bryant.
And by the way, do you realize that we're sort of probably 1 week away from another Manning Brady AFC Championship game,
totally.
And no one's talking about it?
Yep.
And we could potentially have Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl this year with the Broncos.
I love it.
I was driving to work this morning thinking about that. Like, can you imagine what the story is going to be like? Peyton riding off into the sunset potentially as a Super Bowl champion, what that would do for the narrative?
Do you realize what NFL and frankly, CBS executives, the reaction of them would be to Peyton Manning in Super Bowl 50 preparing to win and ride off into the sunset? I don't care who he's playing.
No,
that's,
it really does. No,
that's,
I think,
the number one storyline.
I think the matchup, you'd probably want the Seahawks, right? Because you'd want them to beat the team
Revenge,
that beat them a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could do Packers. That's another Super Bowl rematch. Any of it would be awesome, quite
Broncos,
frankly.
Broncos, Packers, Super Bowl 50, Peyton Manning against Aaron Rodgers.
That's pretty badass.
Would be some incredible ratings.
It really would be. Patriots, Packers, Super Bowl 50, Brady, Rodgers. That'd be great, too.
Yeah.
But, But yeah, I think that we're gonna get Manning Brady in the AFC Championship game yet again.
CBS executives probably don't mind that one either.
No, I would say not.
No, that's right. All right, well, we will be back next week to discuss our championship picks. In the meantime, subscribe via iTunes. Nick, you can follow him at TheCostas. You can follow me at Will Brinson on Twitter. Always fun to do it, man. We will talk again next week.
Peace out, yo.